Turn it up, turn it up, turn it up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Dr. Dre, can't hear you, brother. Can't hear you, bro. Rod, what's up, sir? You all right?
Oh, man, I thought you were giving me a full dose of it, Doc.
No, man, that was pretty funny. No, because what happened was, but anyway, of course, welcome to Talking Sports with 12 Men, as always. You know, today is April the 8th, and like I said, now that I'm officially awake here, in spite of it, yeah, we got the full dose of the time is now. But, of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Rob Porter. As always, I got to check in with my co-host, Rob. How you doing, sir?
And doing great, man. Couldn't be better up here in Detroit, you know, checking up on the Pistons, the Lions, the Michigan State Spartans, the Michigan Wolverines.
Okay. Not bad, man. So we appreciate you. Rob is on the road, as always, and that's what we do, man. So, of course, you're officially Talking Sports with 12th Man. As always, I would not be without if I didn't throw out the numbers if you want to call into the show. As always, you want to give us your thoughts, comments, all of that fun stuff. We always invite you to do so. The number to call into the show is 424-243-9519. Also, you can follow us via Facebook. If you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, there's two ways I can do that. I'll give you the Twitter handle first, and that's just 12th Man. That's the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also, we are available via Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, you can find the page, or if you type in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us. Woo! That's a lot of stuff to go over, huh?
Oh, yeah. Tongue twist.
But that's okay. But as always, like I said, we have a packed show. We always want to kick it off with everything that's been current, and I think the first topic, Rob, we're going to talk about is the NCAA Men's Championship game. I want to check in and see what's going on with the women, too. I know the women, UConn, two undefeated teams as well. But let's talk about the men's side first. Can you give your boy a little bit of love, man? Because I remember last week I was talking about I like UConn to pull off the upset, man. So what do you think about the play of the championship Huskies and Kevin Ollie from the University of Connecticut?
Well, I have to give credit where credit is due, and you were right on the money with that on last week. I thought you were crazy. I thought Florida was going to be the team to beat in the NCAA tournament. And I tell you what, UConn beat them pretty much at their own game. Their guards were better. Shabazz Napier and Ryan Boatwright, I mean, they were the stars of this tournament. They were the stars against Florida, and they were the stars again last night against Kentucky and brought them home a national championship. So you got to give credit where credit is due, and special congrats to Kevin Ollie and the University of Connecticut, and also to the women's program tonight. They're winning by 22 points over Notre Dame tonight.
Wow. So once again, they did. They were the last team that actually did that to win back to back. A couple years ago too, Rob. So they are the first team to do it back to back. There to have both the men and the women's team pull off national championships. That's very, very impressive. So yeah, congratulations as well. So you know, just as a recap, and you know, I'm not gonna, you know, my goal is not to rub anything in anybody's face, but I was just telling you, it seems that sometimes. But no, I was going to say, Rob, it seems like sometimes you have a player that can take over a game, and all it takes is that one player just to kind of have the dominant will to, you know, to do what he has to do. And, you know, I want to give a huge shout out to Shabazz Napier. And I was watching the game, I was like, man, this guy is just on a mission. And I remember reading a story how his mom wanted him to graduate, and he graduated a year early, and, you know, just kind of was focused on doing a lot of things too. So I think it was just an interesting story, which is why I picked him to pull it off. You know, against a very, very talented Florida team, as well as a very, very young but talented Kentucky team as well, too. So I'm sure we'll talk about those teams as well. as we kind of talk about a couple things as well too. But anyway, you know, just a good game. I don't know if you want to have any comments about the way that the play, any comments that Shabazz said afterwards, and then that could be a whole other show topic as well about being starving and whatnot too. But I don't know if you want to have any thoughts or processes about that as well too, Rob.
Well, I mean, I think the thing you have to give Shabazz Napier credit for is he's grown up as a leader from his freshman year to his senior year. And you got to give Kevin Ollie a lot of credit for that as well. And, you know, helping him become a man. And you can sure see the way he's running that team. He makes everybody around him better. He's a team player. He's a leader. And that's what led this team to the national championship. And you look at the fact that the NCAA put their program on probation last year because of the way they're performing in the classroom. And, I mean, I guess, as he said last night, he called out the NCAA, he called them Hungry Huskies. And, I mean, that was a wake-up call, of course. And the way things are looking, Kevin Ollie's got a pretty good class coming in next year. UConn should still be in the top 10. DeAndre Daniels should be back. Ryan Boatwright should be back. And so they should still be a top 10 program. And hats off to a fellow New Orleanian, Ward Emanuel, the athletic director at University of Connecticut, doing a phenomenal job, both the men and women's program winning national championships. So they got to give some love to my fellow New Orleanian brother, Ward Emanuel, University of Connecticut athletic director.
Rob will never let that go. You always got to let us know about that, too. But I'm not mad at you. We'll keep him moving, as always. And I guess the question, too, you talk about Kevin Ollie. This is kind of his first iteration as a coach. Very impressed with him as well, too, Rob. He seems to have a good pulse as far as that team. And I don't know if he saw this coming with Kevin Ollie, you know, but just very impressive for him to come in. And I think there's talk about him being a good coach of the year, too, candidate as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and I think he's already got the NBA personnel and general managers looking at him as well. I think they're watching him closely. You look at Kevin Durant, you look at LeBron James. These are probably two best players in the NBA, of course, today. And they both credit Kevin Ollie for teaching them how to be pros. And I think, you know, that can go a long way. I think that's really caught the attention of NFL, I'm sorry, not NFL, NBA executives and owners as well. So we'll have to see if he's going to stay in the college game at UConn. I know he's an alumnus, or if he's going to take that step to go coach at the pro level.
Yeah, like you said, it's very impressive what he's been able to do. And I like to, afterwards, give a huge, huge credit to Jim Calhoun, just to kind of, you know, as far as that's how you do it as far as the alumni. So, you know, I hope that I know it's tough for the compelling draw of the NBA, too, but I hope he stays in college for a little while longer, Rob, just kind of continuing to mold those young men, too. And maybe he'll see that that's where he wants to be as far as being a good spokesman for how to get to the NBA, but kind of like teach him how to you know, progress and stuff like that, too, for sure.
Absolutely. He can have a lot more longevity at the University of Connecticut than he can have an NBA job. I mean, an NBA job, you have two losing seasons and you're going. Connecticut, you can recruit players. You can recruit elite athletes. You can be a winner for a long time and be very successful for a long time. And I think, you know, if you're really smart, I mean, that's a job you can have for years to come.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk a little bit more about another dynamic player here. We got the NC State's T.J. Warren declares for the NBA draft. And I guess the question is, or clears for the draft, because where do you think he's going to land, Rob? I mean, this was this kind of a surprise move with him making that move? And where do you think T.J. Warren is going to actually go, sir?
Well, he's the ACC Player of the Year. He's 6'8". But he's got short arms for his height, so it doesn't really bode that well for the next level. He's a scorer, but he doesn't have the wingspan that NBA executives look for when it comes to being a small forward. He's probably a tweener. He's probably going to be a guy that comes off the bench in the NBA. He can score the basketball, but he doesn't have the athleticism for the NBA. So he doesn't have the athleticism as a 6'8 to stick with small forwards, and he doesn't have the power to be a power forward at 6'8 either. So you probably have to be a tweener type player to come off the bench at the next level.
There's been a couple tweeners that have made it in the NBA. You know, I think of like Antoine Jameson comes to mind. You know, Charles Barkley was the ultimate, but he was able to kind of find his place as a power forward too. But, you know, TJ Warren, like you talked about, if you got short arms, I mean, it's going to be tough for him unless you're not overly athletic. You know, you said the key word, he is a scorer, but you do wonder how he's going to make his moves, you know, in the NBA for sure.
Yeah, right now I haven't started with my NBA mock drafts, but my early prognosis is he's going to go somewhere between 15 and 26. He'll still be a first-round pick. He won't be a lottery pick, but he'll be somewhere in the 15 and 26 range as far as getting picked in. So it's still a lottery pick. He'll still get 3-4 years guaranteed contract. But once again, I think as of right now, he's a tweener type, and most of the time those type players have to come off the bench in the NBA.
I'm going to kind of go a little off target too, Rob, because I was watching the game yesterday, and there was a couple players that definitely impressed me for Kentucky, and one player was obviously, you know, my Julius Randle character. He's a freshman. You know, no doubt he has the opportunity to go to the NBA. What do you think about his prognosis? Do you think he's going to be, you know, you talk about a player that's, you know, he's pretty big. I mean, he's got the an NBA body already. But what do you think about his prognosis on the next level? And obviously, if you do, I think he's going to go the draft as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's right there in the top five, top six range. He's got the strength to play in a low post. He's got short arms for his height as well. But he's also a scorer, and he's going to make up for it with his strength in the paint. And so, yeah, I see him as going somewhere in that top five, top six range at the moment. But he's still behind guys like Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid, and Dante Exum. So he's definitely behind those four. So he'll be somewhere around 5-6 at the moment.
Love it, love it, love it. Let's keep moving. So, you know, we're going to kind of stay in the vein of the NCAA here. And UConn is actually, you know, I know there's some saying that they were, you know, this is what Shabazz Napier was talking about. They were being banned here. They were on probation. But now it looks like they are getting back to national prominence, Rob. And I guess the question is, you know, you have the traditional blue bloods such as the UCLAs, the Kentuckys, the North Carolinas, and Duke. And I guess, do you think that UConn should kind of be mentioned as far as the same breath of those traditional schools? And I'm going to say a resounding yes, because, you know, obviously it's great to see Kevin Ollie put them back on the map. But UConn is a school that you love to see in there. I'm sure we love to see, like, the Georgetowns, a lot of classic schools too. But, you know, in this vein, I think they should definitely be mentioned in the same breath as those schools. What about you?
Well, absolutely. When you look at UConn, I mean, their four national championships that they've won have all been since 1999. And you look at the other so-called blue blood schools, you look at UCLA, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, those schools have been winning for, you know, since the 50s and 60s practically for the most part. And so, I mean, I would call them a new age blue blood. But when you look at it here, UCLA's got 11 national championships. You look at Kentucky, I believe they have 8. And you look at North Carolina, they have 5. But Duke and UConn is 4. And you look at UConn, they won all 4 of those since 1999. So that's pretty impressive that they're already in that elite company and that they've won those 4 championships in a 15-year span.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to compete right now against, like, the UCLA, you know, the UCLAs. I mean, that's kind of like classic squad too. But, you know, just definitely, you know, I agree with you as far as they are getting – they've got a couple of championships under their belt. You know, they are definitely a school to contend with now that they are in this elite class. And they're going to be a force to reckon with, too. I mean, definitely, I know more on the women's side has been dominating, too, with Jean Ariyama. But you got to give them credit, too. The men have gotten great NBA players, you know, from, you know, obviously from the Ray Allens of the world. You know, I can name a ton of players, Rip Hamilton, you know, a couple of players that have definitely
absolutely
made their stake in, you know,
in the
NBA, too. And Mecca Okafor, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, we can go.
Ben Gordon,
yep. Yeah. That'd be a good trivia show, too, to talk about. Give us some names of some UConn greats that kind of leave stove. I know a couple guys that make it in the NBA. Kimba Walker, then you got, you know, my dough boy, Alamine. You know, I remember a couple of these players, too, man, even though he didn't really make it in the league. But, you know,
oh, yeah,
definitely a good squad.
Yeah.
That, Yeah, you remember him? So we are having fun. What a show. We're about 15 minutes in, and once again, I'm going to throw out some numbers as always to give you your opportunity to add your thoughts, and we appreciate you listening to. Like I said, I apologize for the start of the show, but we have been able to kick it moving. Once again, 424-243-9519, that is the number to call. Rob, if it's okay with you, I definitely want to keep it kind of on the basketball front. I do, so that way we can save some time for NFL. I do want to talk briefly on the NBA about Joe Dumars. And word on the street, Robert, that he is officially stepping down at the end of the season as the Pistons president. So I don't think this is much of a surprise. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure because he hasn't really built that dominant team. And it's been a minute, Rob, since Joe Dumars. And you would think that a guy of his, you know, talent as far as a player is concerned, that he can kind of put some right pieces together. But it clearly seems like he has not been able to find a right mix to get that team back to the championship level whenever he was playing with Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys and the like.
Well, absolutely. It's been since 2004 since they won a championship. And there's just been so much coaching turnover here the last few years for the Pistons. And based on my understanding, that his last firing came from the owner when they fired Maurice Cheeks. Dumars did not want to fire him. And so I think now Dumars is starting to feel like that he doesn't have any control anymore. So I think that's part of the reason why he's looking to step down. From my understanding, I hear the Cleveland Cavaliers are already interested in talking to him about their opening for a team president. I hear the Cavaliers are also interested in talking to Isaiah Thomas. But I also hear the Pistons are interested in talking to Isaiah Thomas as well. It should be interesting to see what happens from that front. But I think he realized that he's outstayed his welcome with the Pistons at this point.
Nothing is more worse than not having any power, Rob, and that's the kind of the kiss of death. If you are a general manager or a director of operations, I don't care what position that you are, if you feel like the owner's kind of operating outside of your jurisdiction, if you will, you know, maybe it's time for a move too. So. You know, like we talked about, I'm sure that Joe Dumars is definitely going to land on his feet. You've mentioned a couple of potential landing places. Unfortunately, Isaiah Thomas has never seemed to get everything right. As much as the guy was a Hall of Fame player, I just feel like, unfortunately, dude has not been a good executive in any stop. So it's just kind of tough, man. So that's just me saying, but it just hasn't been a good thing for Isaiah Thomas for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. He's only had one opportunity, and that was with the New York Knicks. And, he did have some success
CBA.
with the Pacers. And, of course, the CBA, of course. I mean, he bought the league. So it should be interesting. For whatever reason, there's still some NBA executives that are still high on him and as far as his personnel value, too. And so it should be interesting. It looks like he is going to get another shot somewhere. And based on my sources, it looks like Cleveland and Detroit are both going to be interested in talking to him this offseason.
So I think if Joe Dumars goes to Cleveland, maybe Isaiah could go back to Detroit, to his hometown. But we'll definitely keep an eye on that for sure. With that being said, Rob, I think I cleared off the schedule. I definitely want to talk about some NFL mock draft stuff because that is definitely right around the corner as well. I actually got my my draft magazine.
Month
I got
away
two of them now, Rob. So, yeah, a month away, yeah. So I recently picked up – it's always an exciting time, Rob, because I can go and grab those draft magazines and we can kind of talk about some mock drafts and whatnot and the like too. So still a lot of movement. If you are watching Path to the Draft, I'm sure – you've gone through five or six picks right about now for your team. And I guess before we talk about that, too, I guess a quick question is that we always have some questions about DeSean Jackson, and now it seems like he's really continuing taking the Philadelphia model and didn't want to start some workouts here. So what do you think, Rob? You think he should be there or just, you know, him signing a contract? Or is this kind of not a good sign already from your – from your new signing that he doesn't want to work out or go show up, at least for those first start of the workouts?
Well, yeah, I mean, he says that he had a vacation scheduled already. There's a lot of talk going on that since he just signed with the Redskins, that he should have, you know, sacrificed that and rescheduled his trip so he can be with the team on his very first week of, you know, organized, you know, voluntarily activities. And I kind of agree with that, too. I think, you know, you're new to the organization. You want to be a leader, and you definitely want to be there during that first week of, you know, voluntary workouts. And I think DeSean Jackson should have made that sacrifice to be with the team, especially during his first week. And like I said, expecting him to be a leader on this football team right there with RG3, you want to see your leaders there.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't want to say that this is a bad decision already, but you got to put your best foot forward. You already signed to squell all of the rumors about your past, and the first thing out the gate, you don't show up. So, DeSean, man, it's been a rough off season for you, man. We know that you're a playmaker, but hopefully you can kind of turn some things around and definitely get going in the right direction. So that's just me to you, man. So, Rob, you want to give me advice to DeSean Jackson as well, sir?
Be a leader. Be there for your team.
And stop asking for RG3's number, too. So, anyway, we'll keep moving on. Where was Rizzi already? He's like, I want number 10. Like, come on, man. You know that's RG3's number. Oh, man. I love it. All right, let's keep moving on. Let's go ahead. Let's jump right into some mock draft coverage, Robin. I got to give you some credit, too. Looks like you have definitely sent your mock draft for this week. I love it, Rob. So let's see here. Let's jump right into it. And, you know, it seems like even after the day Nate Clowney had a dynamic workout, you still, America, Rob Ford still thinks that Houston's going to draft Blake Bortles. No change. So you just think there's a love affair here? Does Blake Bortles have pictures of Bill O'Brien? Or what's going on with this, Rob?
Oh, vice versa. Yeah. Well, I think Jadeveon Clowney is still in the mix with that number one pick for the Houston Texans. I think they're still considering him. Believe it or not, Houston is also still they're still studying Teddy Bridgewater as well, and even slightly looking into Johnny Manziel. But I think right now the three that they're really keen in on is Bortles, Jadeveon Clowney, and Teddy Bridgewater. But I think in the end it's still going to be Blake Bortles. Bill O'Brien feel like he's going to be the best fit for his West Coast offense. They feel like they can still get by with the defensive personnel that they have, but they need a franchise quarterback for them to get back to where they were a few years ago. And when it's all said and done, they're still going to go with Blake Bortles as the quarterback. Now, this being said, if Houston can trade down a few spots, they are willing to do that because they still feel like they can get Bortles a few spots down as well. So if there's anybody that wants to get Clowney, they're going to have to get up to number one now. Because based on my sources, St. Louis, Jeff Fisher, if Clowney's on the board, he's going to take him now at number two. He's not going to trade. The only way he's going to trade down is if somebody take Clowney at number one.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. So that's pretty interesting talk, Rob. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. So obviously that covers our second pick. Let's talk about the third pick here. Assuming that Clowney is gone, you're saying this is another big move, too. And this is going to shake up the draft. So you've gone with Jacksonville, not going with the quarterback, but actually taking Khalil Mack. So this is another dynamic move. So what do you think about this? Is this the Gus Bradley or kind of an impact as far as what's happened with the Seattle Seahawks?
Absolutely. I think he's definitely the type of player that Pete Carroll and Gus Bradley right in the mold of what they like as far as pass rusher. And I tell you what, I mean, there's some executives around the league that think Khalil Mack is about the same grade as Clowney. You got to remember, there's a ton of positional talent in this draft. And so when you look at Khalil Mack, this is a guy that's going to be right up there near the top. Any other year, he could be the number one pick in this draft as well. So this is almost a no-brainer. He could very well be the number one or number two pick as well in this draft.
Love it, love it, love it. Let's keep moving here. I like your definite assessment about Khalil Mack, and he's getting like a lot of love, especially from Mike Mayock from NFL Network too. Let's keep moving here, and huge surprise as well. And I don't know if this is a bad thing. You've got Cleveland taking Sammy Watkins, so you talked about a couple of squads that that needed quarterbacks. It looks like they're going to wait for this pick, Rob, apparently, but you know, they're just amassing talent. So you've got Cleveland taking Sammy Watkins here.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it goes back to there are seven elite positional players in this draft, and they're going to be hard to pass up when you look at their grades. Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be really hard to pass up a player like Sammy Watkins. This guy has got Pro Bowl potential as a wide receiver. He's got great leaping ability, great speed, great hands. And, you know, Cleveland can use some offensive weapon. Yes, they do need a quarterback. But, you know, there are some teams that are even looking toward the second round when it comes to quarterback as well. It'll be hard to pass for them to pass a guy like Watkins.
The first shocker of the draft, number five, Robert has Oakland taking Derek Carr. Didn't see this coming. Before Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, before Teddy Bridgewater, very, very surprising. I thought they would more towards leaning towards getting Johnny Manziel, but you say your sources are in love with Carr. Tell us a little bit more about this, Rob.
Yeah. They feel like he's a pro-style quarterback and he's ready to play immediately. They're not so sure about Bridgewater and Manziel. They believe that they could be projects. And where they think Carr and Bortles will be the closest things to be starting. And Oakland is going to take a shot with Derek Carr here. Obviously, they would like to trade down and take a shot at him. But they are willing to take him at number five if they have to.
Interesting. A lot of Atlanta fans would be pretty ecstatic with this pick. You guys taking Greg Robinson, offensive tackle from Auburn. I know we're going back and forth between him and Jake Matthews because I keep thinking that Jake Matthews is definitely already pro-ready and he's got the pedigree with the Matthews brothers. And, you know, I know that Dimitrov passed on and Matthews with Clay Matthews a couple of years ago. But you think Greg Robinson has the potential to be just a game changer and a dominant run blocker and all of the above here.
Well, I think Greg Robinson is the more physical player of the two. And if you look at two things, you look at the Atlanta Falcons organization, and one of the main things that they've been stressing this offseason is to be more physical. You can see that from their personnel moves, and they've even gotten that directive from their owner. Their owner felt like, that they played like a bunch of wusses last year and needed them to play a little bit more physical football. And so they got that directive from Arthur Blank as well. That he wants to see his team more physical. He wants to see his team protect the quarterback more. And I think Greg Robinson is going to give you that physical aspect. I think Matthews is a solid pass protector, but Robinson has a chance to be great at both.
You know what? I think you added an extra little thing with there calling us wussies being a Saints fan, but I'm going to let you slide about that too. But that's okay. We got about 2 minutes, Rob, if you want to go ahead and set it up.
Just trying to be objective as possible, you know?
I'm just giving you a hard time, man, but I appreciate you commenting because you don't have to be positive about Falcons, and then we go back and forth about it too. But we got about a minute, 45 seconds, Rob, if you want to set it up for the OT portion as well as next week, and we get ready to wrap up another fantastic issue of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
We certainly appreciate all of you across America tuning into our show tonight. Join us next Tuesday night. Once again, it'll be 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And for our good friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Aloha. Once again, join us next Tuesday. We're about to go into our old top OT portion. So for those of you driving around tomorrow, click on the same link. You'll catch our OT portion. We're getting ready to cover some more draft coverage here for the next 15 minutes. So definitely tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. Unfortunately, we don't give you that portion live, but you can click on the same link tomorrow and catch the remainder of our draft coverage.
Yep, as Rob mentioned, we always want to thank you guys for tuning in. We always try to keep a quick pulse as far as what's been happening in the sports world, so we appreciate you most certainly tuning in. Once again, feel free to like our page, and once again, that's facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports 12th Man, you'll be able to find us. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter. Once again, the same handle, it's number 12, THMAN Sports. And, we always post a lot of fun stuff, too, as always. So I want to give a lot of love to Rob as far as that. And, I know we really haven't posted any mock drafts just yet. I know we've been going through a couple of them, so maybe I'll see if that's okay with Rob to post a couple of mock drafts. And definitely give us your feedback, too, because it's going to change, and with a lot of trades. But anyway, thank you so much for joining in. Anything last words, Rob, before we jump into the OT portion?
Good night, people. Catch our OT portion on tomorrow.
And we are officially into the OT portion of the show, as always. We'll keep it moving here. And let's continue on with the mock draft. And I know this is definitely tied to our topics as far as who do you think would be the best fit with Tampa Bay at number 7. You have them taking the ultra-talented wide receiver, pretty high, too. Mike Evans, and I think this is a steal if you get him this early, too. But a great, great pickup. You know, if they get Mike Evans, even though they could go with the Jake Matthews as well, too. But tell us about why you decided to go with this particular pick right here.
Well, I think if there's anybody in the stock that's rising in this draft, I think it's Mike Evans. When you look at it, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the hands. He's about 6'5". And you look at the fact that Tampa Bay just traded Mike Williams to Buffalo for a 6th-round pick. So there's a need for another receiver. And I tell you what, this, you know, for both of us, both of our teams are being in the NFC South, when you look at this Tampa Bay team that picked up Josh McCown and you add a guy like Mike Evans and you put him alongside of Vincent Jackson and then you get improved in the head coach department with Lovie Smith, this team would be a scary team next year. And I think Mike Evans, I tell you, that this would be a scary, you know, the jury's still out on Josh McCown, but this could be an improved ball club next year.
Wow, keep that going, too. And I think, like you talked about, you hit the nail right on the head with us being in the NFC South, and we got to keep an eye on what's happening, all the moves that are taking place right now. Let's talk more or less about Minnesota. Minnesota has you're gonna type Mike Zimmer as new head coach, and one of the things he may want to put the stamp on, he didn't really want to go with Michael Vick, but he got them taking Teddy Bridgewater. I guess it seems like the Christian Ponder experiment is definitely over, Rob. What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. It looks like, you know, 2 years, it was enough for them to do the evaluation. And based on what I'm hearing, if Teddy Bridgewater is available, I think the Vikings are still very high on him. They feel like he'll be getting the number one pick in the draft if he falls to him at number 8. My sources tell me if Bridgewater is not available, that they're looking to go linebacker, pass rushing type in the 1st round and hope to get a quarterback like Mettenberger in the 2nd round. So I think that's where they're leaning. Bridgewater is there. They're going to go with them. If not, look for them to go with somebody like Anthony Barr, somebody like that here in this slot, and again, try to target at Mettenberger in the 2nd round.
If you're Buffalo at number 9, you are thinking the most high right about now because you're amazed that Jake Matthews is still right there, the offensive tackle from Texas. So you talk about just like a real steal, like you said. You could put him to solidify that line. E.J. Manuel, once again, has a perfect pass protector. Just a great move. And if a couple months before, if he was still there, I would just be I thought he wouldn't last the Falcons. But with the ascent of Greg Robinson, you know, that's going to change. But you talk about a great steal right here for Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned before, there are 7 elite positional players in this draft, and Matthews is still one of those 7. And if you look at it here, they're going to get him at number 9 because there's 2 quarterbacks. So, well, actually 3 quarterbacks have been taken at this point in the draft. And so you look at Jake Matthews, he's one of those, like I say, one of those 7 strong positional players here. And so Buffalo will still be getting one as a number 9 slot. And Buffalo has been looking for offensive line help for about 4 or 5 years now, so he'll be a great pickup for him.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Let's keep moving here. Let's talk about Detroit. Now, I think earlier you had them taking a cornerback, but now a little switch here. You got them taking Anthony Barr, who I think could easily go to Buffalo or Minnesota if you're kind of looking at if Mike Zimmer wants to kind of be defensive here. But you got them taking Anthony Barr, the ultra-talented but yet pretty raw potential outside linebacker from UCLA.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, if Bridgewater is gone at number 8, which is still a remote possibility, Minnesota will definitely take Barr here at the number 8 spot. Mike Zimmer is high on him. But I see Detroit as of right now is giving him a slight grade ahead of Gilbert, and they will go ahead and take him at this point in the draft. And one thing that they also realized, too, that this is a deep corner draft, too, so you can still get some solid corners in this draft, even in the second and third round. And Detroit can still use a corner, too.
Yes. Speaking of corner, you've got Tennessee taking Justin Gilbert, the outstanding cornerback from Oklahoma State. Tell us a bit more about your decision to go ahead. It seems like this is a perfect player for Jeff Fisher.
Well, yeah, well, Jeff Fisher's in St. Louis now, but
Sorry. I apologize. I apologize. Please forgive me. I totally thought about the Titans. Please forgive me, America. Yes, first thing I thought about, but I know where you're going to, so I apologize. Yeah, he's a good player for Tennessee. Please forgive me. Thank you for
– Yeah, but Jeff Fisher would love him in St. Louis as well. Don't get it twisted, but Gilbert is an elite athlete as well, great cover skills, and you know, Tennessee still needs some help in that secondary, so it would be a great pickup for him in Tennessee.
Gotcha. Well, I apologize, America. I was thinking of Jeff Fisher's been with Tennessee so long, I did realize he is with the Rams there. So, anyway, as I catch myself here, let's talk about the New York Giants. And we've kind of gone back and forth, but it seems like, once again, this is another steal if you have them picking Taylor Lewan right here, the offensive tackle from Michigan. I know you talk about those elite positions as well as those skill positions. Is he just outside of those skill positions, Rob, or I think he's a dynamic player too, sir?
Absolutely. You're talking about a guy who could possibly be a top 10 pick. There's some off-the-field concerns with him. But the Giants, of course, I mean, they did sign Charles Brown, offensive lineman from the Saints, but they still need help. Charles Brown was benched by the Saints toward the end of the season last year, and so Lewan could still be a guy that they can really build around for the next 10 to 12 years.
Love it, love it, love it. And I know if you are a Giants fan, you're happy because you've had a tough time with your offensive line, too. I know they need a lot of positions, Rob, but they beef up that offensive line. Maybe Eli didn't have a rough year like he's had last year.
Absolutely. I mean, they have to protect him. The Giants, Eli, if I'm not mistaken, he probably got sacked more than any other quarterback in the league last year. So mm-hmm. It was a ferocious season for the Giants last year.
If you are St. Louis, you talk about just overhauling your defense. I mean, your defense is already strong. They had the best, pass rushing, some good pass rushers here that rival Seattle. But if the Rams get Jadeveon Clowney and they end up getting C.J. Mosley, man, you talk about a defense that is beginning to take shape. That would be a scary proposition. They could really care less about how Sam Bradford plays. They can become like the 2002 Baltimore Ravens, if you will. Just don't throw the ball. Just whatever. Just run it. You know? Let us handle everything.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jeff Fisher was initially, willing to trade out of that number two spot, but I think he's gotten to the point now where he's fell in love with Jadeveon Clowney, that he feels like he can't have enough pass rushers, even though he's got, Robert Quinn and Chris Long on the roster already. He's prepared to go ahead and pick Clowney. The only way the Rams trade out of that number two spot now if Clowney is not there. And so that's the deal with the Rams there at the number two. And number 13 spot, you're just picking the best player available, C.J. Mosley, who could possibly even still play a little bit on the outside in the 4-3 defense as well, where you can keep Laurinaitis in the middle. And so that's what you would do, Mosley. And their secondary was solid last year, too, so they would be an elite defense.
You got Chicago, number 14, taking Aaron Donald, the explosive defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. It seems like Chicago has a nice affinity for undersized yet explosive defensive tackles, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and they need one, too, of course. Henry Melton is not there anymore. And they can use some help right there. They're still running the basic 4-3 defense, left behind by Lovie Smith. So he's a perfect pass rushing defensive tackle for that defense.
If you're Pittsburgh number 15, they always seem to draft pretty well, always in the middle rounds. You've got them taking Darqueze Dennard, another great cornerback from Michigan State. I think this is a good fit because, he fits that Pittsburgh Steelers, the toughness. This would be another great pickup for Pittsburgh in this particular instance.
Yeah, absolutely. The physical corner. You know, there are a few personnel people that have him graded higher. Gilbert, maybe not as good of an athlete as Gilbert is. He's a very physical corner in the mold of a Richard Sherman. Don't know if he's going to be as good as Sherman, but this is going to be a very good football player.
We got about 5 minutes left in the show, so we'll just wanted to kind of give a time check there. You've got Dallas on the clock. I'm not a huge Dallas fan. I would like to laugh at them a lot of times, but even though there would be no laugh matter if they picked up Clinton Dix from Alabama. But I know sometimes we were laughing at what Jerry World does whenever he's drafting players that look like a Duck Dynasty and giving high fives to everyone. But it wouldn't be a laughing matter. They would actually get it right if they picked up Clinton Dix, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a very good football player, too. You know, somebody that Dallas can use on the back end as well. I think Dallas is solid at the corner position, but they can still use some help in that safety area. So it'd be a great pickup for the Cowboys.
I really thought that a good player that would fit the Baltimore Ravens perfectly would be C.J. Mosley, if he does go before like you have him going. And this is a surprise. Johnny Manziel is not off the board either, according to your new mock. But you've got them taking Eric Ebron, the tight end from North Carolina, just to add another weapon. And this would be pretty good because they obviously traded Anquan to the 49ers, so a good person to kind of fill in, maybe take some pressure off of Joe Flacco.
Yeah, getting back to C.J. Mosley, the Ravens absolutely love him, so you're right on it with that. They would love for him to fall to 17. I know the Steelers are also high on him at 15, but I think the Steelers will still go corner if one of those two corners are there. But Eric Ebron, getting him here, this is a guy that has the potential to be an elite tight end. I'm talking Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. He's got that kind of athleticism at the tight end position. So I think somebody will be getting a steal. I think Ebron is a top 10 talent, in my personal opinion, but this is somewhere in the area where he's going to go.
Love it. I'll keep moving here as we keep it moving. Let's talk a little bit more about the Jets. You got to take Calvin Pryor, the safety from Louisville. Tell us a little more about this pick.
Well, obviously, you know, the Jets could still use some help at the wide receiver position. They did pick up Eric Decker, but I think they've lost so much in the secondary here. I think Rex Ryan would choose to see if he can get some better help in the secondary here. Of course, with Gilbert and Denard off the board, you go with one of the better safeties in the draft, and you get Calvin Pryor.
Like it. Let's talk about Zach Martin, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, going to Miami. This looks like I'm not sure if they want to take another player with the last name of Martin, Rob, but they definitely want to replace Jonathan Martin on that offensive line.
I thought
about
that when I was doing my draft, too, believe it or not.
I know you did.
But obviously, they need some help along the offensive line. We're losing two players because of, you know, the bullying scandal that they went through last year. And so they're going to definitely need some help along that offensive line. And Zach Martin is about as solid as they come. He's a solid technician, well-coached in Notre Dame on the offensive line.
We've got about 2 minutes, Rob. I'll let you do this last pick. And you've definitely waited and saved it to last, Arizona getting Johnny Manziel. That would be awesome, maybe in the mold of a Aaron Rodgers waiting. Just an amazing move if he lasted that long. So if I'm Arizona, yeah, that's a great move. They really haven't solidified their quarterback just yet either.
Yeah, I tell you, Johnny Manziel is so hard to predict right now. He's going to go where he's going to go in the draft. He could be anywhere from the top five to the beginning of the second round. And, you know, right now I have him sliding a little bit. I think there's still some people that are scared of his personality as far as taking a risk on him in the top five or top ten. But right now I see him sliding. And Arizona is one of the few teams right here that is interested in taking the quarterback. They don't want to rely on Carson Palmer too much longer. And so they may be one of the few organizations that would take a chance on him right here.
Thank you so much for listening to Talking Sports with 12th Man. Today has been Tuesday the 8th. We hope you had fun. Check us out next week, same time, same channel. Anything else you want to say, Rob?
Good night, people. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for the mock draft, Rob. As always, before this cuts us off, we'll see you next week. We'll continue the mock draft. Maybe we'll post it, as always. Don't forget, Rob, we are right at that 20 pick. We got about 12 more picks to go. We'll keep talking about it right at Green Bay. We'll talk to you guys same time, same channel next week. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Good night, people.